No, Nick.
Please. Son?
Ice tears families apart.
I'm going out.
Oh, no, Nick!
Get off!
Anti-methamphetamine advertisements do not make for pleasant viewing.
Some ice users dig at their skin, feeling like bugs are crawling underneath. And then there are the psychotic reactions. This can happen any time you use it. Ice destroys lives. Don't let it destroy yours.
The federal government has released a new anti-methamphetamine awareness campaign full of gruesome details, shocking violence, and confronting medical facts. At a cost of $9 million, it is just the initial stage of a broader national strategy set to be announced in the coming months. But as the government, police, and treatment services all fight to battle meth use in Australia, we ask, just how effective are these in-your-face shock factor awareness campaigns?
There's a lot of research in this area.
Cameron Francis from the Youth Alcohol and Drug Support Service, Dovetail.
What we know from both the school research and the mass media stuff is that the scare tactics and scare campaigns really don't work for young people, particularly around illicit drugs. We know that from the school sort of research, we know that scare tactics tend to not really resonate with young people's experiences of substance use. A lot of young people, if they first commence trying an illicit drug, usually don't experience many bad effects. A drug like methamphetamine obviously has got a lot of harms associated with it, but for a lot of people that stuff can come in over time. Young people's first experience of illicit drugs is generally pretty positive, and they don't have those big spectacular harms that the scare tactics kind of focus on. So young people then tend to disregard all of that messaging and believe that it's not true and that it's been sort of exaggerated.
In his experience working with substance abuse support and treatment services, Cameron has seen how big shock and awe scare campaigns can actually have the opposite effect on young people.
We know that young people are more likely to take drugs when they believe that it is a really common behaviour, and they're less likely to do it when they think it's uncommon. When there are ads on TV, it does make young people think, wow, it must be everywhere. And so young people start to misunderstand how common it actually is.
To combat this attitude, Cameron uses similar statistics, but in reverse.
In young people at high school, we know that the rates of use of a drug like methamphetamine is about 3%. It's actually extremely uncommon. And so if we were going into a school and doing drug education in a school, we would present the statistics in reverse. So we would say to young people, 97% of kids don't take methamphetamine, just sort of emphasise how uncommon it actually is. So there's a lot of research in this area as well, because obviously governments spend a lot of money on drug prevention programs and have done since the 80s when all this really kicked off. So we know a lot about what works and what doesn't work.
Cameron Francis says the consequences of meth use, like violent psychotic episodes and bugs crawling under the skin, are totally relevant, but has found tailoring awareness campaigns around what young people already know about the drug or have already experienced seems to carry more weight.
Usually the messaging, for it to be effective, we try to target it much more narrowly and much more towards the actual experiences of real young people, not the big scary kind of stuff. So we tend to use young people's actual experiences and what they know about different drugs or what they've seen themselves at parties with their friends.
The major problem of large anti-meth awareness campaigns is that while well-funded and well-produced, their message is too broad to account for all the different demographics that use the drug. Simply put, the social causes of meth use in, say, rural Victoria are different to that of inner-city Brisbane. But such difficulties don't end with different geographic areas.
It's also true with in an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander community as well. Those communities require particular targeted responses. We know that young women is a particular target group that requires different approaches. Young women often, in some of the research, have had higher rates of methamphetamine use than young men do. Some of that is to do with body image concerns and using methamphetamine to lose weight. So obviously that population requires a different approach. LGBT young people, there's some evidence that there are higher rates of drug use in that population. And obviously that population requires specific sorts of prevention approaches as well. So each of the different and also culturally linguistically diverse communities as well, they require more targeted approaches. So the mass media campaigns aren't usually able to deliver that really specific kind of messaging or whatever it is to access those sorts of populations.
So what's the alternative to these massive anti-meth advertisements?
What I think the best thing to do is to look at those regions that are saying that this is a problem and come up with a bit of a strategy for trying to measure that and to work out exactly what is that problem and who are the particular target groups that are at risk or that are presenting to emergency departments and that kind of thing. And then we tailor local responses with those communities. And one of the keys to really effectively doing that is to actually engage with people who take drugs and to get their input into these sorts of strategies. And just the same way that when we were looking at preventing HIV in the 80s, we engaged gay men in those responses, and we funded organisations of gay men to get together and to tell health workers how to do that prevention work, because it's all well and good to read lots of textbooks and research, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to translate that into something that's actually meaningful to real-life people.
Also, there's a role for treatment services in these advertisements.
I mean, we're really keen to promote the idea that treatment does work and treatment is available. And we know that some of the sometimes these sorts of campaigns can disempower communities and make communities feel like there's nothing that they can do, and can make families feel helpless as well. If they've got a family member who's got an alcohol or other drug problem, it can just make them feel like there's nothing that they can do and it's all terrible. When actually there are treatment services available, and there are treatments for all kinds of alcohol and other drug dependence, and those treatments are quite effective as well. We know that obviously there are barriers to people accessing those treatments sometimes, but those treatments are available, and we want to get that sort of message out that, you know, help is around and you can get assistance for it.
Whether such tactics will be used in any national campaign or task force is yet to be seen. Dominic Cansdale, reporting for 4ZZZ.